Spring is always a wonderful, beautiful time of the year. It's my favorite season. I always enjoy, especially after the gloomy, dark, cold winter that we had this past year, to see those barren tree branches begin to bud and to see that little tinge of green or to see the beautiful blossoms. Well, in a similar way, I remember going to the Napa Valley sometime when I was in high school. I have relatives in Sacramento. My grandma, now deceased, lived outside there, and then my uncle and his family still do. But we went down to the Napa Valley. It was springtime, and one could see these barren vines. And some of the vines are old, 100 years old, with these large, gnarled trunks. And yet there'd be the branches. I could see the vine dressers going through and pruning off the dead branches or pruning off the infected ones, the weak ones. Eventually, as spring went on, the little buds came off and they started to branch further. And again, the vine dresser went out and pruned them back, eliminating the disease, the weak, or those that had died. And eventually, by the end of summer, it was time for harvest, to harvest the grapes that would be transformed into the wonderful wines. Well, this is the image that our Lord uses in the gospel today. He identifies himself as the vine, his Father as the vine dresser, and we are the branches. Immediately, we should have it come to mind that this is presenting to us the life of grace that we enjoy through sacraments, those seven efficacious signs that our Lord instituted to share with us grace, that supernatural gift of God's life and love. While we share sacraments that are, you could say, unique to each of us, like holy orders, some of you are married, we should focus really on those four basic sacraments that we do share: baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, and penance. These are the basic sacraments, are the foundation of our spiritual lives. So in baptism, for instance, it's like that bud erupting on the vine. Here, Almighty God cleanses us of original sin and infuses into our soul sanctifying grace. That sharing in the divine life and love of the Holy Trinity. How miraculous it is to just think that there's this indwelling presence of the Trinity within our soul. In a way, we are recreated. We're reborn as a child of God. We become a member of the church. This life of grace is open to us. Baptism also puts an indelible seal, a character, upon our soul. We are known as a child of God, a member of the Catholic Church. We're given the name Christian. How wonderful that is. But then we have confirmation. Confirmation emboldens that sacred character, that seal given to us at baptism. Confirmation imparts fully the gifts of the Holy Spirit, increases and strengthens the faith, hope, and charity that we received at baptism. Confirmation roots us really in that divine sonship that we share with the Lord. It binds us closer to the church and therefore to each other. It also strengthens us to go out and really proclaim as good witnesses the gospel message. I remember when I was preparing for confirmation back in 1966 that it was always impressed upon us that through confirmation we became a soldier of Christ, to go out and proclaim the gospel, but do battle against evil. Well, my brothers and sisters, when we think of that, that's exactly what we find in the early church. In our first passage, St. Paul, known as Saul back then, is proclaiming boldly the name of Jesus. It says, too, that the church was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord. Well, fear of the Lord is one of those gifts of the Holy Spirit, whereby we respect, we love, we honor God above all things. And we give God number one priority, number one due. And because of that relationship, we don't fear anything else. St. Paul did not fear those individuals he was speaking to, even though they even threatened to kill him. He didn't stop. He would go on. And this fear of the Lord, this gift, gives us great freedom. We live for God. We live for the Lord. We walk with Him. So we don't fear the things of this world. No, we're walking with Christ. We're doing His work. So these two great sacraments, baptism and confirmation, impart, embolden that sacred character upon our soul. Now, granted, we need to bring nourishment to living these sacraments. So, of course, we pray. We need to know our faith, so we study our faith. How can we be effective witnesses if we can't talk about our faith with conviction? But then we also have that great gift of the Holy Eucharist. So Jesus gave to his apostles and to us through the Holy Mass his body, blood, soul, and divinity. How wonderful that is. Our dear Lord said, "I am the bread of life who has come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." So here, through the Holy Eucharist, we have the nourishment we need. Christ not only feeds us with his life, we are assured he is with us. He is present to us as we go out on our journey. But then, of course, there's also the pruning. In a way, that's the sacrament of penance, that in our own lives, we need to have a pruning. So it's important for us to take the time to examine our lives and prune off the weaknesses. We all deal with them. And maybe that's a constant kind of pruning, just like we do for a regular kind of shrub. But we prune. We try to conquer that weakness. We need to look at the commandments. Are we living fully the message of the commandments? As St. John wrote in our second passage, those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. How can we possibly say, I live life with the Lord, if we aren't following the commandments in their fullness? So, my brothers and sisters, we pause and we take that time to examine our lives. And with that, we repent of sin. And that's another pruning, to actually recognize the sin, repent of it, and go to confession. Now, never should we be comfortable with venial sin, because venial sin weakens that grace in our life. So it's almost like you think of cholesterol in a vein. It starts lining the wall of the arteries, preventing the blood flow. Well, that's really what venial sin is doing in a spiritual way. It's preventing that fullness of lived grace to flow throughout our being. Mortal sin is so severe that willfully done, it's like we cut the artery. We cut the branch off from the vine itself. The only way to repair that is to go to confession. How sad it would be to continue on in a mortal sin, because then we are denying ourselves grace. Like if we received Holy Communion in a state of mortal sin, the grace can't penetrate. It's even called a sacrilege, because here, in great pride, not repenting of a mortal sin, we still receive the Eucharist. And if not repented by the time we die, what happens then? Then this rejection that we've accepted now in our life continues on. It's like the gospel. The withered, dead branch is pruned off, cast into the fire, except this time the fire of hell. So all of us, therefore, looking at this beautiful, basic, sacramental life, not only the two sacraments that leave those sacred characters, baptism and confirmation, but looking at our regular use sacraments, Holy Eucharist and penance, we see how this is a life of grace that brings us into a fellowship with the Holy Trinity, that brings us into a new life, that helps us not only live life now, but journey to everlasting life in heaven. Part of the beauty is that if we really open ourselves to this life of grace, we stay connected with that vine who is Christ. Being the good branch, we'll bear fruit. In one sense, we'll bear fruit in just how we live our life. St. Paul reminds us that the fruits of the Holy Spirit are joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. Such a life is a life of freedom, a life of real joy. But that's the fruit of living the sacramental life and allowing that grace to work. We'll also do those good works, the works that give evidence of our faith. When we think again about that first reading, we hear of how in the early church it grew in numbers. Why? Here this small little group of Christians is growing despite oppression and persecution from both Roman and Jewish authorities. Why? People saw that they had something that they wanted. They had something that only God could offer. That's the fruit that we want to evidence in our own lives. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is such an important message, especially in our world today. You know, sometimes when I look at our world, especially, let's take our own American culture, I sometimes wondering if we're like a branch that's slowly withering, that's dying, that's losing its life force. And I wonder if our little church is getting smaller. I say that because just look at this week. We saw on Monday those riots in Baltimore. Well, having grown up here, I remember in the 60s how the riots in Washington burned down part of the city, and it took over 20 years to rebuild some of those sections. And here it's happening again. Such anger. And to burn down your own CVS, your own senior center, businesses that you rely on. What's the sense? Such selfishness to allow such anger to bring about such destruction. And then on Tuesday, there's all that news about the Supreme Court and how they'll rule about marriage. I'm like, rule about marriage? Marriage is between a man and a woman. So if they redefine it, and probably because of political pressure and the fact that two of the justices have officiated at same-sex marriages, they probably will change the definition. But where does it stop there? When do we start allowing bigamy, as like the Mormon religion would like, or even the Muslim religion would like? Why not have bigamy? And why not stop there? And what then about children? Who will raise the children? I remember reading a story about a young man, he's now in his 20s in California, raised by two moms. He was manufactured in a laboratory. He found out in his 20s he had 150 siblings he never knew about. Do we consider what's happening to the children? Such selfishness is leading to these decisions, and it's like collapsing the arteries of our very society. And we could go on. And we think, too, about Bruce Jenner. Much news about Bruce Jenner this week. But I was thinking, and whatever's going through his mind, we leave to God. But I was thinking, what if I were his son? I'd be saying, you're my father. You're my dad. You're the man I looked up to. You're the one who, with mom, gave me life. And now, what's going to happen? Such selfishness, besides in these decisions. And then, too, this week we marked the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, where almost 1.5 million Armenians in 1915 were basically exterminated. And the world didn't do anything about it and didn't even talk about it until recent times. Even Adolf Hitler quipped in 1935 as he is beginning his program to exterminate the Jews. And people challenged him and said, well, what will the world think? Hitler quipped, who remembers the Armenians? Well, my brothers and sisters, looking at our world today, who will remember the Christians in Syria, Iraq, Nigeria, other places? Who's going to remember? Who's speaking out? World leaders who have such power, Why aren't they speaking out? It's like the vein is closing. Now, that could leave us really discouraged, but then we have hope. And the hope comes from that sacramental life. When you and I always remember we have life in God, in the Holy Trinity, through baptism and confirmation, and nothing can take that away. We have to stay united with our Lord through the Holy Eucharist and through the sacrament of penance. Oftentimes when I feel that discouragement, I remember at Mass, each time, holding the host, and I say, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." There's the life. There's the Lamb of God who can conquer sin and bring new life, and brings us life, conquering the discouragement. And with the Holy Eucharist, then, you and I can go forth still with Christian joy and proclaim boldly the name of Christ, as St. Paul did. You and I, despite what it may seem like, can bring about that new life and renew all things in Jesus Christ. May God bless you.